G7, number 2B.
We come to the quote that you have on the study material in principle, which has always given us a hint. I know right back in before World War that John Doll in his class teaching would point that out, that marginal heading, a higher discovery. In that paragraph, among others, he says, the divine mind produces in man health, harmony, and immortality. Well, that's fine. Then she goes on and says, but gradually, see, gradually, so it needs step-by-step development. Gradually, this evidence will gather momentum and clearness. So apparently it's not yet clear. As time goes on, it will gather clearness. Until, can you see, until, it's in the future. Until, so there is a future which is higher than the present. Until it reaches its culmination of scientific statement and proof. So the higher discovery is showing that the discovery must rise and rise and rise, that there is a higher and higher and higher discovery waiting for us, that is quite sure. The question that is more puzzling for us is, how can we be the medium for this higher discovery? How can we become the discoverer? How can we become the revelator of this higher discovery? Is that just by chance, or is there a law behind it? And I want to show that there is a law behind it, that the science always works according to laws, not according to chance, or having priorities for certain people, or for a dynasty, or for any authority. Science works through science and not through people. So this higher discovery is awaiting us, and as we will see, it has developed since Mrs. Eddy wrote this passage, and so we find again the scientific development of science. Yes. Let's take life, just a few passages from the synonymous term life. Before I read the statement in the study material, I want to read some other short sentences that are easily to be grasped, but are very, very important. For instance, she says, stately science pauses not. It pauses not. It has no finality to it. Science has no finality and says, here we have discovered everything, now that's the end of it. No, stately science pauses not, but moves before them, leading to divine height. So we can see that science will push us and push us and push us, always ascending, ascending, higher and higher and higher, until, what she said, it is leading us to divine heights, to divine heights. I like that, and you like it too, I know, that there is something great awaiting us in the future. But we must be careful that we are not standing still in our consciousness, that we are not happy with what we have already seen, that there must be a little bit of unhappiness within us which says, oh, it's fine what I have, but I must go on. There is a field ahead. I don't know what that field is. I don't know what it will bring me. It is the adventure of life that lies before me. That adventure of life will lead me into a field where I see things clear and clear. Or this most important statement in, I think it's in Miscellaneous Writings, where she speaks about the education of the future. So she looks again into the future, she looks again ahead and says, what will be the education of the future? And that will be, and that's interesting to value every term here, that the education of the future will be instruction. Instruction. Not just blah, blah. Instruction demands an educational program. It demands an order program of understanding. Just as in school you have an ordered way of learning mathematics, of learning physics. You have an ordered way. It's instruction. It's an educational program. And it's instruction in what? In spiritual science. In spiritual science. That will be the instruction. That alone is not enough. She has a comma and says, against what? It is instruction in spiritual science instead of what? And calls that other side against the material sciences, against the symbolic counterfeit sciences. That's interesting. It means that Mrs. Eddy says all science is divine. Again, when she says all, she means all and not something, and there's something next to it. All science is divine. If all science is divine, what about those other, what she calls so-called symbolic counterfeit sciences? What about them? The whole world is instructed in these other sciences, not in divine science. Only a few people in the whole world are instructed in divine science. The rest of the world is always instructed in the material, symbolic, so-called sciences, counterfeit sciences. This is a hard word. It means that all the universities in the world and all the billions and billions of dollars that go into instruction go into a false instruction. This is quite something. So that we have to see what is the relationship between these symbolic sciences and divine science. And do we see somehow that there are not two if there is only one mind? There is only one mind, there can be only one science, and all science is divine. Therefore, what about the other material, so-called symbolic counterfeit sciences? What about them? And this is the question of today, I would say. I think it's the greatest question that we have to meet today, where we are living in a world of chaos, where everybody honestly says, I don't know the answer to this chaotic world. It's so chaotic that you may find here a little answer, there a little answer, but that doesn't really weigh much, very much today. It is the age in which we live, where everybody says, well, there must be a change. What change? Without saying really what change, perhaps say it must be an ethical change, a cultural change, or something like that. Not really knowing which is then the best ethics to which we should change. The world doesn't know where the world is. There's all those wonderful universities and hundreds of thousands of professors and millions of students in the university and colleges, and they don't know what to teach. All what they teach is nonsense. If there is only one science, that's divine science. Now, we always know that if there is something called a dualistic sense in any situation, we always know that there is a solution to dualism. Namely, that there is a Christ at work. And the Christ is at work to dissolve, step by step, the counterfeit concept of reality. And so, today the question is, do we see somehow what Lady says here, that the education must be different in the future? Do we see that education is changing? And I would say we have a lot of indication that a lot of good thinking, right thinking, is going on in the world, perhaps hidden away from the TV, hidden away perhaps from the masses of people, but still, like Jesus in the cradle being born, nobody knew about it, nobody took any notice about it, and yet it was the biggest thing that happened in the world. Its effect after 2,000 years still enormous. So there is something going on in the world where we can see that that is not true, that we have on one side divine science and on the other side material science, and that they are two opposite sciences. What we see is that reality is of the nature of divine science, which doesn't give in to material science. But on the other side, we have material science that gives in to the Christ impact, that gives more in to the Christ impact, that converges towards divine science. That more and more we can see indication that in the natural science, even in the hard sciences, there is a tendency that would show us that there is something developing that is approaching or converging towards divine science. As I said, if you take David's book with the title, The Mind of God, well, some of us are old enough to know 50 years ago, 60 years ago, only when I was at the university, such a book would have been burnt perhaps or thrown away anyway. And the author of a book that talks about the mind of God as a hard scientist would have been ridiculed and perhaps put into a sanatorium or anywhere where they treat those who are nuts up here. Only 50 years ago, perhaps only 30 years ago, but not today. Sometimes you read in the paper, I don't read many books, but you read in the paper the new books, and one is surprised how much of this tendency is being brought out in the books today. That people are speaking about the mind of God as if, just as naturally as they were speaking about electricity and magnetism and so on in the older days. So we will see, and I will take some time to develop that as far as I'm able to do it, because I'm not specialized in that field at all, but to show that such a tendency is going on today, and that is much more important than all the wars that are going on today. They come and go, that doesn't matter so much. On the contrary, one sees very clearly, if you look back, and most of you can look back to the last war and know how horrible that war was. About 50, 60 million people died in that war. But in biology, 50, 60 million people don't matter. Today, the increase in population is every 7 or 8 months that amount of 60, 70 million people. What 6 years war have taken away today, biology brings forth, so to say, that makes good in that just by producing more than before within 7 or 8 months. That's not the problem of the World War. But if you look back at the World War II, you can see that the most important changes in consciousness were born in that period. In that period, you have all those big changes in consciousness that were after the war developing itself and developing and bringing up an evolution, such a quick evolution as we have never witnessed before. The statistics, for instance, show that 90% of all the scientists that have ever lived over the last 2,000-3,000 years, that 90% of all the scientists over the last 3,000 years live now, right now, within a short period of a few, of one, two generations, live now. And so you can see the enormous development. Science pushes on. Stately science does not stay put. It goes on and on. And so all the big things that happened in the way of changing consciousness, of scientific consciousness, we can more or less trace them all back to those few years of the last war. So we can also see the other side of that war, not only the killing of it, but also the birth of a new consciousness. I always wish I were much, much younger. I always wish I had a wide insight into the various sciences. And I would like to see, I can only tentatively see it, that actually everything started during the war. During the war, John Dawley started the science of Christian Science, the true science. And what he started out, you could see afterwards, having its exposition, so to say, its impact in the technical world, in the philosophical world, in the biological world. All that had its impact on the world. Nobody was talking about cybernetics except the first one during the war, Professor Wiener. Nobody was talking about structure and structuralism until during the war we could see that the Bible has a structure, that the ideas are structured, and so on. I could go on and on and on. All what we are teaching in Christian Science as the development in the from the textbook had all its root in those few years during the war. So we must not only see the crisis that goes on. Actually, what is a crisis? Don't always feel that when you are in a crisis and something goes wrong, that you say, this is animal magnetism. Very often, or in most cases, it's the Christ. It is the Christ that does not want us to stay put. Does not want us that we stay where we are and are happy and satisfied with the situation in which we are. The Christ wants to push us forward. And as we are unwilling to go forward, as we are unwilling to change, the human mind doesn't want to change. The human mind wants to stay put. It doesn't want to change. And not change is anti-Christ. The Christ changes. The Christ is that which comes and says to every situation which is not purely spiritual, says, I want that situation, which is the counterfeit of the spiritual, to change and to change and to change. And if you don't do it willingly, I use all my power and all my forces of the Christ power to change it. And as we don't like the change, we say we are in a big crisis. Then we say something is wrong. We say animal magnetism, animal magnetism, animal magnetism, animal magnetism. That's the easiest way to deal with a problem. Just to call it animal magnetism. Instead of seeing that there is a Christ. The Christ is the fact about animal magnetism. And see, it is the Christ working at that situation and that situation, yes? Bringing forth a crisis if we resist it. And because there is great resistance within us, because we have a thousand and thousand year of tradition incorporated within us, built within us, that says, don't go forward, be happy with what is here. Don't go forward. Because of that tradition which is in us, we are not willing to go forward. We are much more willing to stay put. So life is a terrific sense of bringing the newness of life, the mutation of life, the spontaneity of life, that it does not fall back on causes that have been there since time immemorial. So that's the education of the future in spiritual science against that symbolic counterfeit sciences. I have here in the study aid or the study material under life one of my war cries. You know that war cry, I bring it up since 40 years, every time I bring it up, I bring it up. I do it again. I know that you say, we have heard that, Max. You told us that a year ago. No, I wasn't here a year ago. You told us that 4 years ago. You told us that 10 years ago. You told us that 20 years ago. Yes, I told it. But I found that one doesn't take heed of it. And so I repeat it. And I repeat it because it's most important. Namely that sense which Mrs. Eddy gives, where she says, the time cometh. Think of it, that she says, the time cometh. She knew it was not here at her time. She wrote 100 years ago. 100 years ago, at that time, it was not established. So she had to say, but the time will come. Now, how long are we going to say to ourselves, the time will come, when already 100 years have passed? Do we say we wait another 500 years until we say the time has come? Or has after 100 years the time come? And it's an individual decision. That everyone individually can make that decision and say, yes, the time is now. The time is now. And what is the time that is now? It is something terrific. Namely, the time comes when the spiritual origin of man, we are constantly, constantly, constantly saying the spiritual origin of man is God. Or we say our parents, mostly. Who are your parents? My dad, my mother, yes? Here and there we say, my God, as the origin of man, but mostly dad and mother, the parents. They are the origin. Can you see, we rely on mortality day in and day out and call ourselves Christian scientists. It's hideous. It's dishonest. It's dishonest to the nth degree. And because we have that dishonesty within ourselves, the science cannot really evolve within ourselves. So the time comes when the spiritual origin of man, comma, what is the spiritual origin of man? the divine science. She doesn't say God. She says divine science, which ushered Jesus into human presence. She goes right back to Jesus and says, Jesus wasn't the outcome of God from the Father. He had to talk in that way 2,000 years ago so that people would understand it. But Mrs. Eddy comes and corrects what was stated, I can't say stated wrongly, but was stated for that age, adapted to that age, 2,000 years ago. Do we really want to live 2,000 years ago? Or do we want to live now? And do we want to live in the future? Well, if we want to live in the future, we can't always go right back 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago to Abraham and say, that's our father. We have to go with the time. By golly, all the other signs go with the time. The other signs are much more progressive in their way of thinking than we are usually. Think of it. Think that science, say, science is a classical science, in the proper sense of science, is only 500 years old, 400, 500 years old. Say, since Copernicus, since Galilei, since Kepler, and afterwards Newton, and so on. It's young. But think of the difference, what the development has been since Galilei, since Kepler, since Newton. Think of that difference. Think only of the difference in sciences of this century, alone of this century. You know that very nice story about Planck, you know, Professor Planck, who was he still has the Planck Institute as one of the most famous technical scientific institute in Europe. When Planck was a young student and he wanted to decide what shall I study at the university, he was talking with the professor on physics, and he said, I think I would like to study physics. And the professor, at the end of last century, said to him, don't study physics. You know, we know all about physics today. There is practically nothing left that we don't know about physics. You better study something else. And thank God he did study physics, because he was the first one then to overturn or to rejuvenate physics, or that's perhaps not the right term, to give to physics a completely new paradigm. And right afterwards, a few years afterwards, you had Einstein, who gave another new paradigm. Well, physical science did really push on this century. Did we push on this century in Christian Science? I don't give the answer, you know it. All right, we make a break.